Unto him who loved us and washed us in his blood, forgiving us our sins and making us kings and priests to live together with him in his kingdom, to him be glory in the church, both now and always. Amen. The text chosen for our meditation this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, read to you a moment ago. In the name of Jesus, missionaries, one and all. How can it be? A sinner such as I, the burden of sin bearing down on us, as the reading talks about it like a rot, eating us. How can we escape from such a judgment for our sins? And today, the word of our God gives us some blessed assurance that Jesus has resolved and corrected this dilemma. What is his desire? Is the first question. Second question is, what can I do about it? And the third question, where should I go and what should I do? It's a very bold statement that our Lord makes through the prophet Ezekiel when the children of Israel were concerned about their sin and how it could be corrected. In their despair and heartache, the Lord responded and said, not just once, but any number of times throughout the pages of the scriptures, as he said in this particular chapter, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. These words were spoken after there was some indication about the watchman's duty. His duty was to give warning. If he failed to do so, there were consequences. And it is in the context of this that Jesus, or through the Lord Jesus, speaking to us this morning, through this prophet of God, reminds us that he has this desire to save us, has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In a few chapters before this particular text, for instance, in the 18th chapter, he speaks these similar words, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live. And as people complained that the way of the Lord was not right, he asks, is my way not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore repent and live. And then if you turn to the New Testament in the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So Jesus today for us gives us the remedy for our condition of sin. It's true that we often become egoists, as it's called. Let's just consider for a moment that the doctor's verdict to us, the analysis made after the tests are in, the doctor comes and says to us, you have terminal lung cancer. And we have difficulty seeing anything but this condition that we are under. We begin to look at everything through the prism of this announcement that has been made. We can't see anything else. It's something that grasps us and holds us. And our suffering often makes it difficult for us to transcend our experience and to look beyond ourselves. We see everything through the prism of pain. There is pain, of course, not discounting the fact that we have to endure pain. But our pain and suffering will bend itself to become even more self-centered than we already are. Our pain turns us inward. And suffering and pain seems to move us away from God, when, in fact, we need to come closer to God in those circumstances. We, in our pain, are turned away from Christ and his cross. And that remains a great challenge to our life in Christ, in which we are to be turned out of ourselves toward another, toward Christ. We are not to be egoists, but in this text, in this word of the scriptures, we are introduced to one who is an altruist, one who looks outside of himself, and that's Jesus. He is not an egoist, but he is the ultimate altruist. He is about the other. He's concerned about us. In fact, unlike us, Jesus never thinks of his agony in terms of himself or his own suffering. And we're seeing that now during the season of Lent, when we once again review the sacrifice he made on our behalf. And we remember him saying, as the true altruist, not my will, but thine be done. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. He also refers to the fact that our righteousness is not going to help. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not what we do. It's not what we can do. It's what He has done for us through sending His Son, Jesus, for our salvation. We live in a time when tragedies seem to surround us. We've just been through this past summer a situation of many fires in California that destroyed property and took lives. And now, during these days, the flooding that is occurring in the Midwest. It leads people to ask, where is God in this? Well, God is at work. He is a long-suffering God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And one could ask, are these warnings? Are these opportunities for people to turn and live as He requests? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has obtained and won salvation for us through the sending of His Son, Jesus. This was His plan. He steadfastly set His face to Jerusalem, there knowing of the suffering to come, but willingly went the way of sorrows to deal with our deepest need. Our deepest need being the forgiveness of sins. He dealt with it by His suffering and death and His resurrection. He did not fail us. It wasn't all that long ago that both my mother and father died in a relatively short time of each other. My father died in the month of February. My mother died in the month of July. And it came time to break up the family farm home where they grew up and where they farmed, here in what is now called Eagan. And when the auction sale was held, each member of the family was given an opportunity to take something from the home as a keepsake. The item that I chose didn't require a truck or trailer to haul it off. It was just a little item. A plaque that hung on the family farm home for 62 years of their marriage. Plaque that now hangs in my office. But before I hung it there, I took it to a printer and I asked him if he could reproduce that in the form of a bookmark. And today, all over the world, this little bookmark appears with the evangelistic statement, Jesus never fails. And just recently, this little booklet with the same title describes the truth about this bookmark. It tells people that people fail us. People we have counted on have failed us. Things fail us. We gather all sorts of things, and then when health fails us, we don't know what to do with all those things. But there is one who never fails us, and that's Jesus. We know this because He successfully dealt with our deepest need. By His suffering, His death, and His glorious resurrection, He has met this need. And He has met all lesser needs as well. He is one who does not fail us. And the question could ask, so what? So we're engaged in missions. Opportunities to simply state, Jesus will not fail you. Irregardless of your condition and situation, you can count on him. And we want the world to know that he does not have the pleasure of the wicked to die, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And we know that in the books and theological works that we have available to us, we learn more and more about the truth of our salvation. We are called upon to pray, to preach, and to print, which is the mission of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, to put into print the precious truth that Jesus has not failed us. That's the basic message summarized for us again today in this statement through the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord does not wish anyone to die, but to come to the knowledge of the truth and live. So the Lutheran Heritage Foundation is about publishing books. Perhaps books like this one, handling the word of truth in the Chinese language. I think the author of this is a former pastor in this area, the University of Minnesota, John Pless. We are also concerned about the children. And we have published this little book called Garden of Bible Stories. Child's Garden of Bible Stories. This one happens to be chosen to display because these are people in your area. This is the Hmong Child's Garden of Bible Stories in the Blue language, which many of the Hmong speak. Of course, we want people to know the truth of the scriptures, and as we have learned it in the catechism, we find that this is a great tool to explain the truth. A catechism such as this in the Dinka language of Sudan and 80 other languages into which the catechism has been printed. Also, the Child's Garden of Bible Stories in the Arabic language, reaching out to the growing population of Muslims in our communities, and also the Arabic catechism used today in many corners of the United States and the world. Small catechism in the Amharic language. We have an Amharic speaker with us today. He'll be speaking at the Bible class, Reverend Dr. Dinku Bato, he's a member of our staff in charge of Africa. We have also published the Amharic Book of Concord, a large volume for the people of Ethiopia. Did you know that the Lutherans in Ethiopia make up the largest Lutheran body in the world? When we started working in Ethiopia about 10 years ago, the Lutheran population was about 6 million. Today, they report Lutheranism to be at the 9 million level. And here's a very popular work, The Child's Garden of Bible Stories in the Spanish language. Many copies have been sent to Central and South America. Of course, after we published the Spanish Bible, which has the catechism in the front of it, some 100,000 copies of this have been printed. Most of them given away free, like all of our books are. And soon to be in its fifth printing in the Spanish language. And perhaps you have heard of the growing Lutheran Church of Germany, which was pretty much dead for the last 50 years. Lutheran churches of Germany in many of the old Lutheran centers like Wittenberg, Leipzig, are being filled to capacity with immigrants coming from Iran and Afghanistan. And so we have published the catechism in their language. This is the Farsi language that they speak. This is now available to them for pastors to use in the training of these growing number of people who have come to the Lutheran Church. We have also published for them the Child's Garden and Bible Stories in the Farsi language. So these books, including the English version of Jesus Never Fails, now being printed after printing 6,000 copies and not being able to keep these on the shelf, we are now in the process of publishing 45,000 copies of this that will be distributed all over the world, because there are many centers and universities where English is spoken. And we want this simple truth known of Jesus, who did not fail us. If we have such a beautiful truth that is expressed as it is by Ezekiel today, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Does it not behoove us to share the truth of Jesus' never failing love? May God grant us the privilege to do that in our daily lives for the sake of Him who died to save us and to deal with our deepest need. In His name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life eternal. Amen.